Good morning, everyone. In Gaza, the tanks are rolling. But the Israeli military personnel are on their way out of the Gaza Strip. Over the weekend, Israel declared a unilateral ceasefire in its three-week-old offensive in the Gaza Strip. And Hamas matched it this morning with a week-long ceasefire of its own. Two unilateral ceasefires. Are they related? Well, they are related by timing, in any case, at this point. And, of course, the timing is interesting because Israel ended its offensive well in advance of the Barack Obama inauguration, as was predicted by many observers in the region. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Charles Levinson. He's Wall Street Journal Jerusalem Bureau Chief. He joins us from Gaza, where he's in the territory, sitting at a restaurant this afternoon. Charles, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
What is the sense of what Israel achieved among the people in Gaza that you talked to, if anything?
Well, I mean, the Palestinians, I mean, are definitely seeing this as a victory for Hamas, or at least certainly Hamas is portraying it that way, and certainly a lot of people are echoing that sentiment. They point to the fact that Hamas is, you know, somewhat ragtag militia compared to the mighty Israeli army, simply survived the onslaught. They're also, you know, giving quite inflated. There's a lot of credibility here given among the, you know, Palestinians in Gaza to Hamas's sort of inflated number of Israeli casualties. They're saying they killed 80 Israelis, even though Israel says only 13 Israelis died in the war. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a sense here that this is going to be spun, at least on this side of the border, as a victory for Hamas.
Well, with the spin aside, though, is there a sense of weariness in Gaza that Hamas maybe overplayed their hand, was not expecting such a severe response, and that now they're going to need $1 billion from the Saudis at least to even begin a reconstruction of the 20,000 buildings that have been damaged?
I mean, that's certainly what the Israelis hope, that by, you know, launching this sort of destructive campaign, they can drive a wedge between the population and Hamas. Certainly that's not playing out anecdotally here, and history doesn't really suggest that's the case either. Certainly, you know, what happened to Hezbollah in 2006 didn't weaken Hezbollah. I think it only strengthened the movement. And you can go back, you know, decades and see how, you know, these sort of operations don't actually separate the people from the whatever resistance group is they're trying to be separated from, whether it's Hezbollah or Hamas or the Palestinian Liberation Organization in the past, that rather, you know, these drive people into the arms of Hamas, that suddenly they see Hamas as the people who are defending their rights, or Hezbollah as the people that are defending their rights.
Well, Charles, let's look at how we would measure that. I mean, certainly the sense of rearming Hamas from the southern border with Egypt is one detail that Israel has talked about as a way of understanding if Hamas has actually been limited by this military offensive. But if we're to look at the Lebanon example, Hezbollah, how did they portray their success, and might Hamas try to do something that would echo the Hezbollah victory?
Well, of course, one of the first things, parallels between the two is Hezbollah succeeded, you know, up until the very last day of the war. Hezbollah was still firing, you know, dozens and dozens of rockets at Israel every day. Hamas didn't succeed like Hezbollah succeeded in that, you know, the number of rockets they were able to fire at Israel decreased quite significantly over the course of the war. But again, for the sake of the information campaign, they did continue firing rockets up until the last day. And indeed, after Israel declared a ceasefire, they still fired off another salvo. So, you know, they will point to that and say, you know, look, they didn't stop us from firing the rockets as Israel declared. So that's one sort of parallel between the two.
What about rearming through the Egyptian border zone?
Well, that's, you know, that remains to be seen whether they're able to or not, and, you know, how, if they're not able to, how does that affect their standing, their popularity here? It's a big question. It remains to be seen. I mean, the assumption is that if they succeed, well, first of all, stopping the tunnels is really difficult. But if they should succeed in stopping the tunnels, then that'll have to be. In return for some sort of freeing up of the borders, because if you don't have the tunnels or the border crossings, then nothing can get in or out of this territory.
Which is why this ceasefire is fragile and why the clock is ticking. And as the Barack Obama administration takes over, inaugurated tomorrow, there's going to be a real instantaneous shift from the Bush administration's diplomatic efforts to the Obama administration's diplomatic efforts. Charles Levinson, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Charles Levinson is the Jerusalem Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal, joining us from Gaza, where there are two unilateral ceasefires, and the fighting has stopped for now.